The Green Front with Betsy Rosenberg, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Edition of the Green Front, exciting because in just a few hours, Al Gore's 24 Hours of Reality will get underway. As our fearless leader says, it is urgent to rendezvous with reality to save the future of our civilization, not to mention our children, grandchildren, and every living being coming beyond this moment. I don't think we've given up on the future, and if we have not, we better wake up and smell the CO2 and look what we're going to do to keep a stable climate, ensuring that all good things can survive and thrive and carry forth. So to tell us all about this exciting event that's been planned for months, we have the program director for that 24 Hours of Reality event. Kevin Curtis joins us from the Climate Reality Project. It used to be called the Climate Project and the Alliance for Climate Protection, and I'm glad that they have combined forces and put the emergency aspect in there. And why is that necessary? Well, turn on Fox News, turn on television, open up the newspaper and see how reality is being distorted with lots of money funding that distortion, I might add. So welcome to the Green Front, Kevin.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for taking out time as you get ready to launch this worldwide global event to tell us what it's about, how people can participate, and then we'll kind of drill down, if you will, and look at, you know, why this kind of thing is needed, what prompted it, what the goals are, what hopefully will come out of it in short order.
Absolutely. And again, thank you very much for the opportunity to be on your show. You have wonderful guests.
Thank you. This has been my beat and my passion for 15 years. Not as long as Al's been at it, but trying to get mainstream media to cover these issues. And it's not been easy, but, you know, nothing around this issue has been logical.
No, why should it be easy?
No.
So very briefly, this is, you know, yet the latest, and I'm sad, you know, per our conversation, it won't be the last, but it's the latest effort by Al Gore and his organization to really just try and raise the profile and public awareness of the issue around climate change, and to try and do it in a way that I think kind of both reflects the reality of the moment we find ourselves, both kind of the reality, the media reality, and the scientific reality. Very specifically, what the next 24 hours can be about is starting in Mexico City at 7 p.m. their local time, which is central time in the United States. So I think it'd be 5 p.m. out in California and 8 p.m. on the East Coast time.
So just about 6 hours from now.
6 hours from now, and just starting Mexico City, and 1 hour dedicated per time zone, and it culminates in New York City at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And each hour consists of half an hour from in-country, where a presenter is presenting the slideshow that Al developed on kind of, and the slideshow has two goals: connecting the dots between the severe weather we're all experiencing and climate change, and the second goal is to take on some of the red herrings or denier arguments that we see out there in a variety of places, including Fox, including other places. And to do that in a compelling and hopefully entertaining way. So that's the first half hour. Then the second half hour is from a New York City studio, just kind of continuing the conversation. And over the course of 24 hours, we really hope to engage people in their time zones. There's no need to watch it 24 hours in a row, but just pick a time zone that's of interest to you. And I would encourage everybody to try and tune into the 24th hour, where Vice President Gore gives his version of the presentation. And that, let me stop there and answer questions.
Okay, so his version of the presentation, I understand that will be about 30 minutes. His original presentation, of course, goes much longer. I am honored to have been one of his graduates.
Oh, terrific. That's right. I forgot.
Yeah, so let us know. Will he have new slides, which we're always looking for?
No.
Lord knows there's no shortage of new evidence, scientific and otherwise, that we're on a collision course.
You'll appreciate the inside humor here a little bit. It is finally a brand new slideshow, and I think
Hallelujah.
It's very exciting. Yeah, it's 30 minutes, and 23 of your colleagues have been practicing it for the last week, and it'll be made available to all trained presenters, yourself included, starting this weekend. And the hope is that people will watch it on the live stream over the next 24 hours, and then one of the asks we're making of people in the audience is to please request a presentation in your community, in your school, in your neighborhood, however you choose to do it, so that we hope to kind of build some interest in continuing the conversation.
And when I was in Nashville a couple of times for various stages of the training, one of the things, as I talk about, that really struck me was sort of dramatic and dire as an inconvenient truth was, next to Mr. Gore was a climate scientist, I believe his name is Michael McCracken, if I remember back 4 years correctly, and he kept saying that it's actually worse than it showed in the slideshow and in the movie. And, of course, that was 4 years ago, so things have gotten significantly worse on the climate weather front. And that really struck me, because many people thought, oh, Al Gore was exaggerating. It couldn't be that bad. And, in fact, it by the time we were in Nashville, a year and a half after the movie had been produced, it was already getting worse, and that was, again, years ago. So this one, I imagine, will be, you know, packing a punch, if you will, I guess, to use a weather term, and that's what we've been getting, is walloped, not just around the world, but, of course, in this country. Just look at the record flooding, hurricanes, tornadoes. Never can forget to mention the continuing fires in drought-stricken Texas, where the governor is flying back from the presidential campaign trail to declare that, you know, this is the worst, most extreme firefighting effort they've seen. And yet, climate change, not a real threat, not a problem, not even real in his thinking. And yet, this is what we're facing right now. So I think that this 24 hours of reality is coming at a perfect moment, even though you've been planning it for months.
It is, and again, I think that's really one of the key points, if not the key point of this particular slideshow, which is to really connect the dots between the severe weather that we're experiencing in all sorts of different ways around the U.S. and around the globe, from the fires to the rainstorms to the droughts, and the flooding from the rainstorms, and to really talk about the role that climate change has links to the severe weather. I think he's very precise. We're very precise to make sure that, you know, severe weather has happened, will happen. Climate change, the role of climate change in the severe weather is it just makes it worse. It makes it more severe. And it does it very simply by just the more CO2 there is in the atmosphere, the more energy gets trapped in the atmosphere, and the more energy there is in the atmosphere, the more severe the weather plays out. It just absorbs more water, drops more water, and just, again, Mr. Gore does a much more eloquent job than I'm doing in the slideshow, and the presenters will do it as well. But that's the basic thesis, and just allowing people to understand that. And, again, I think one of the things we've learned is I've worked for Mr. Gore for a couple of years and on this issue for many, second decade now, is you want to talk to people in ways that resonate with them. And everybody connects with the weather in their community and want to know what's going on. And so I think we're really just trying to, you know, take advantage of that and answer some of the questions people are asking.
And I don't know if you're familiar with the latest research that's come out of the Yale Department of Environment, Anthony Lazarowitz's work with Six Americas. That tells us that we really, we do need a national green talk show, which I've been valiantly and unsuccessfully trying to get on mainstream
you'll
media.
Get there.
We'll get there.
I
have
promise.
To. It was On Air America, but they went down, and so did the nation's only green talk show, and that was 4 years ago, and since then there's just more to talk about. So wonderful to have internet sites like the Progressive Radio Network, but we want to reach more than the progressives, more than the greens, of course, or we won't really be doing our job. But interesting how they found there are six Americas that you almost have to tailor your talk to, you know, depending upon where someone lives, their region, maybe their politics. And yet there is a universal message. There is a universal shift in our global climate taking place. All one has to do is open their eyes and ears. And another wonderful reality check is Thomas Friedman's column most recently in the New York Times a few days ago, saying, you know, is it weird enough yet? I mean, what more do we need
exactly.
That things are out of whack? And yet we find ourselves, we who are trying to educate the public, simply tell the truth and say we need to heed what nature is telling us, get on with the solution, stop arguing about whether it's real. And yet we're still stuck in this place where we're having to defend science and 98% of the world's scientists. And it is surreal, it is maddening, and it has to end, doesn't it?
It does. And again, I think what we're hoping to do in the show is explain the science, explain the linkage to severe weather, use humor, use video to connect the dots. And I think to your point, the Yale Six America study is absolutely people need to kind of hear it in their own languages and from messengers they trust. And I think a couple points Mr. Gore is very conscious of is you know, I think some of the deniers and some of the skeptics like to kind of make ridicule him or make fun of him and say this is the Al Gore show. It absolutely is not the Al Gore show. It's going to take all of us, and in his words, it's a symphony, you know, not a solo. It takes all sorts of voices, yours, his, others, talking
and
about this issue.
And a bunch of buckshot, not a single bullet to address
right.
the massive challenge.
Absolutely. And then the other thing is I think people need to try and separate the solution from the problem. Is the problem of climate science is very real. I mean, of climate change, it's real, it's documented, it's happening. I think where people get muddled sometimes is they see it as a stalking horse for the solution. And I think one of the things we're very careful to do in this slideshow, and he's very careful to do, is talk about the science, not proposing a particular solution. In fact, the solution is going to take lots of different pieces. But again, this slideshow is about severe weather is happening. It's exacerbated and caused to a large degree by climate change. And so that's point one. And point two is don't be fooled by some of the skeptic and deniers' arguments, because at the end of the day, they're acting out of short-term economic self-interest.
Absolutely. And you do have some great video. I won't play it now because it's mostly without words, but it's clever. It's when the denial hits the fan.
Yeah, no, and there were two kind of – I think one of the things I love about working for Mr. Gore is he is trying to bring in new voices, new approaches. We're thrilled to be partnered with Alex Boguski, and he has an organization called the Fearless Cottage. He's serving as our chief marketing officer.
That was great. When I saw that he was on board, I was thrilled because he is a master communicator.
Exactly, and he's bringing in some new ads and stuff. And, I mean, the two ads you reference, they're on our website. I encourage people to go look at them. They're meant to be funny. They're meant to be attention-grabbing. They're not serious, somber, environmental-type ads. They're humorous and, again, just designed to get people to pay attention. And I think that's how we start broadening the universe of people paying attention to this issue.
And the website for the whole event, is that a special designated website?
It's our website. It's www.climaterealityproject.org. It's a mouthful. I apologize for that, but it's climaterealityproject.org. I think you can also find us on Facebook. And I think what we're really hoping people will do over the next, you know, 24 plus 6 hours before it starts is just spread the word and try and encourage your friends, families, your skeptical friends, your curmudgeon-y uncle or aunt who just doesn't believe this nonsense, quote-unquote, is have them watch us just for an hour and, you know, pick a time zone that you care about. You know, if you've always wanted to go to Australia, please watch the Australian time zone. And again, I think Al Gore.
Want to visit the Arctic and Alaska and hope to see glaciers there.
Exactly. Just kind of, you know, Larry Schweiger from NWF will be presenting from Alaska in the fourth hour. So I think that's a wonderful place to see there. There'll be somebody from Hawaii. So just, you know, find a time zone you care about. Watch the show. Watch the slideshow. Watch the discussion. And I think I'm convinced if anybody approaches it with even half of an open mind, they'll be convinced. I mean, one of the fun things I've watched in the last 2 days is this is being professionally produced, and we brought in a bunch of just professionals whose job it is to produce good TV and good live stream entertainment. Some of them know about the environment, some of them don't. But over the course of the last 36 hours, several of them have come up to me and said, I had no idea. I knew about climate change, but I didn't really get it till I've helped produce this show. So I think that hopefully that'll happen with the audience as well.
And I know that one of the big challenges is reaching the very people who most need to reach it. When we do presentations, we're usually asked by people in our community, and here in the Bay Area, there's a lot of belief that climate scientists are correct, of course.
Right.
There's like the two schools seem to be fall into either, yeah, I know it's a problem, but, you know, I'm not really sure what I can do about it. To the people who most need to see this, I don't know what numbers of people saw an Inconvenient Truth and came away with a completely different view of climate reality. Hopefully someone's documented that. But it's so challenging, isn't it, to reach the very population that most needs to hear this. Because it's somewhat self-selecting. The people who are going to be watching
Absolutely.
This have some green connections, and I have the same challenge with having a green show on the Internet. People, my green friends listen, but that's not going to reach
Exactly.
the
They're already
public.
Converted, right?
Exactly, and so that's why we need to have this stuff on, you know, MSNBC, on CNN, you know, in some regular format, and yes, even on Fox. You know, they claim to love controversy, and they're so darn provocative. You know, I've offered to go on in the belly of the beast, you know, let me arm wrestle Sean Hannity, which I've done a few times verbally, but it's more like, you know, just a shouting match, of course. But they don't like that. They really don't like you to get too close with the facts because they know that they can't fight reality.
No, I agreed. I was on a radio talk show, a morning talk show in Houston this morning, and it was very conservative, very shock jock, and I was happy
Texas.
To be on there in an effort to try and talk. But, you know, sadly, they wanted to know personal details about Al Gore's life rather than the issue of climate change. But
and when I went
was
on there,
they talked
to,
about climate change. So
when I went on last time, by the way, they wanted to know if I was friends with a communist, Van Jones. And
well,
they went
off
in that direction. They wanted, supposedly, they had me on to talk about how, climate change is so serious. Why do, only 41% of the people around the world, why are only 40% concerned? And I wanted to say, because too many of them are watching your show, Sean, but they didn't even let me do that because they went off on the communist tangent. I mean, that's what they do. And people say, why do you bother going on? Because that's what they do. I said, well, because every now and then you can just get a zinger in there in between the shouting. Huh. And if, some small percentage of their audience, and they have a huge, vast audience, mostly of disbelievers, because they watch that stuff and listen to Rush Limbaugh all day, then, maybe you get a few people, like my friend D.R. Tucker, the climate convert, who, I don't know if you heard about him, but I mentioned him when I was on.
I have
on.
Not, so I'm sorry.
Oh, he was a conservative Republican, and because he actually read the 2007 IPCC report and a book called Disconnect, he became a believer and has been appalled that he kind of drank the Kool-Aid. And he's a fabulous blogger. He's going to be on the show in a few minutes if you want to stand by. And he talks about how reading the science made him wake up and smell the CO2. And he's a huge, passionate advocate for getting reality out there to his libertarian friends. When I mention that, of course, they go on about how the blog that he's on is a liberal blog. It's not. The Frum Forum is moderate conservative. In other words, they distort reality right and left just on the very simple basic facts, let alone, scientific reality. And not to go off on a tangent there, but just to say that they like the, controversy, but they like it on their ground, their terms only, because they really can't handle it any other way, because there's scientific facts. There's 98% of the world's climate scientists. And how in the world could they ever, any media personality or anyone who's, for that matter, not a climate scientist, no more than 98% of the climate scientists. That fundamental fact, should be, I don't think should be, cannot be overstated.
No, and again, I think, the whole point of what we're trying to do over the next 24 hours is to arm people with the facts. And one of the asks, not to give away too much of the punchline, but one of the asks from Al and others will be, please request a presentation in your community, in your neighborhood, and please engage in the conversation. And we're hoping that people will not only engage in the conversation, but that the material we provide in the next 24 hours gives you and your listeners some more ammunition, some more factoids, some more arguments to use, and some more techniques to use with broadening the discussion. Because, again, we can't let ourselves be stopped by, fierce hosts who just want to, be loud and noisy. But there's an audience out there. They need to hear about it. I think most people, you present them with the facts, you give them time to think about it, they'll come to the right conclusions.
And what do you plan to do as follow-up if people are just maybe hearing about this and they just missed it or they didn't really get to participate?
Yeah, it's all the presentations will be available on our website, so you can download it or watch it just, it's because you would a podcast. Secondly is, as I mentioned, you and all the other trained presenters will be given a copy of the slideshow and be encouraged to go out and give it. We're also going to be asking the listening audience to request slideshows and request conversations and just try and get the word out. And we'll be doing something like this again every 3 or 4 months. I mean, this isn't a one-time shot. It's just Al's not going away. Sadly, the issue's not going away, and it's getting worse rather than better. So we're just going to keep at it. And for the foreseeable future, is the audience is not inside the Beltway, but the audience is the public out there in the U.S. and out there around the world whose voices ultimately will, I think, force the political leadership to catch up.
And that is the good and bad news, isn't it? It's not going. The problem's not going away. So
no, it sure isn't.
but we just can't sit back knowing what we know, sleep at night, and just watch it happen. And so I think because we are on a collision course with what we're seeing in too much of the media and what Mother Nature is yelling at us, that reality is going to win very soon here. I mean, it seems things are heating up literally and figuratively in every way. So
the weather gives us example after example, right? I mean, it's just, just in the
amazing.
Last few weeks, there's fires in Texas and floods in Vermont, right?
It's just you don't have to go a week before there's some massive, record-breaking event. And when I ask my friends who are kind of skeptics, I don't have many of them, they say, well, it's just not proven. And I wonder, how long did it take to show that cigarettes cause lung cancer? Was it ever 100% proven? I don't know.
No,
but it was.
No, and I think we should recognize there's still a sizable percentage. It's a minority, but a sizable percentage of the population that smokes. We're not going to convince everybody. That's okay. But we have to convince more, and we have to convince the political leadership to lead on this. Yeah,
and that's a good point, Kevin. They say you need 10% of people to believe something or do something before you reach a tipping point. Have we not reached 10% critical mass yet of Americans who are, you know, significantly concerned about climate change and how it's
going to impact? Oh, I think we have, and I think you look at Tony's stuff from Statistics America's project and the other polling is, I think, you know, I mean, one thing the environmental community and the liberal community writ large, this is Kevin now, not Al Gore speaking, but Kevin speaking, is I think we're too hard on ourselves sometimes, is we are reaching lots of people, but we have to recognize and appreciate the fact that this country right now is struggling with, you know, the worst economic times in a long, long time. I mean, just in today's paper, what were historical poverty rates of 15% of America is living below the poverty rate, which is $22,000 a year for a family of four. So 15% of the country is living at that rate or less. So the point of that is people are struggling with the here and now. You know, I need a job. I need to have some security. So it's not surprising that pushing, you know, scary things like climate change, which is down the road, out of their mind is one of the things that's going on. So point being is I think we have even with all of this going on, we still have a majority of America that believes climate change is real. There's no doubt that they're less passionate about it now than they were a couple of years ago, but I would argue that's because of the economic crisis. And we just have to keep our eye on that ball and just keep getting the word out, and pendulums swing, right? They go back and forth.
Absolutely, and yet it's not just climate change in any kind of compartmentalization category. It is affecting lives, livelihoods, whole cities have been leveled. Look at Joplin, health, and that's the connection we have to keep making.
Yep, and I think the severe weather is something people get, and I think we want to be very careful not to overstate, right? Severe weather has happened, will continue to happen. It's not caused entirely by increased CO2 emissions in the atmosphere, but it's certainly exacerbated by the CO2 pollution we've had in the put in the atmosphere.
Exactly. It is the great exacerbator, the mother of all environmental challenges, climate change impacting so many others and impacting so many lives. And sadly, you know, people who have been victims of these floods and fires and tornadoes and hurricanes, they might not have ever necessarily concerned themselves much with climate change or thought they had reason to. And it's an equal opportunity destroyer, and we must all pay attention and heed what we're being asked to pay attention to. Whatever your religion, whatever your political beliefs, let's just, you know, keep it practical. In fact, that's why I just launched America's Green Tea Party for a healthier alternative for those of us who are steamed that they're playing politics with the planet. And when people say, is it a political party, another political party? I said, no, it's not. It's not the Tea Party for sure. It's kind of a response to the Tea Party, because when I learned that all 30 of them who got into Congress in the last election, I think to a person, to a T, none of them believe in climate change. I said, they're angry about high taxes. Well, we environmentalists and climate activists are steamed that they're ignoring, you know, this issue, and that carbon, you know, continues to spew into the atmosphere. So we're against high gases. So the point is that we need to organize people to say this is practical. Let's stop the politics. Let's stop the ridiculous. It's childish, isn't it?
It really is. And again, I think the way we win this in part is, I mean, we try all sorts of different things, but one of the things we're trying to focus on is conversations between neighbors, conversations between friends, conversations between colleagues at work, just chiming in. And again, 24 Hours of Reality is designed to try and just provide a new round of arguments, some updated factoids, some updated clips and slides that can contribute to that conversation so that people like you, your listeners, others can just feel more comfortable and more supported that they're not out there alone believing in climate change, and here's some factoids to use and some arguments to use that, who knows, might convince that skeptical uncle we all have in our family, right?
Yes, and any idea, any sneak peek on what we can expect next from Mr. Gore? Some people have felt that he's not been, you know, as front and center as we would like him to be, need him to be, given, you know, the assault that's taking place on reason, to quote the title of his, I think.
Yeah, no, one never, no, I will leave that to him to tell us, but I'm happy to report that he is fully engaged and very, very committed to continuing to kind of speak out and amp up his efforts on the issue of climate change, and, you know, recognizes he's polarizing to some, but just the truth of the issue and the reality of the issue just needs calling out, and he's more engaged, and he's encouraging others to get more engaged.
Wonderful, and I just peeked over at my bookshelf where I have The Assault on Reason, his book, of course, The Inconvenient Truth, and his other book of the last few years, Our Choice. And in the end, it really is our choice, isn't it? Are we going
really
to rise to the challenge of this huge, you know, human-caused problem that will take we humans to address? And time is short, shorter than I think even the scientists had thought, you know, just incredible velocity and rapidity at which we're seeing these events. And yet we're not quite keeping up with that. But I guess, you know, as Al Gore himself has noted, it takes time for people to change their views of reality. And I guess part of the resistance, my climate convert friend D.R. Tucker tells me, because he hangs out still with has lunch with libertarians, that they have such a strong, fundamental, deep-seated belief that there's no role for federal government in any, you know, on any issue, that if they acknowledge that this issue is real, they'd have to admit that, gee, we do need some, you know, government leadership here on this, and yes, some money spent to address this challenge, this huge challenge. They can't handle that, so they deny it, and that is just nothing short of strange. Grown-ups, educated people, having that level of cognitive dissonance being too much to let reality seep in.
No, but just trying to be charitable is, you know, they have many things on their minds and a belief system that this challenges and gets linked to by our opponents and stuff. And again, I think we just keep putting the facts out there, try to do it in different ways. And I do think, you know, one of the things I hold on to is, again, the facts are the facts. It's happening. And I think as more and more people figure out that it really is happening, that they've been duped or misled, or, you know, people they relied on for accuracy have been misleading them, that will provoke anger. And anger, you know, we're seeing can bounce in a bunch of different ways, but quite frankly, the political system responds to anger. And so if
That's
people
right,
feel they've been duped and they put pressure on the system to catch up, then I think the political system will catch up.
Well, hell hath no fury on a duped climate skeptic, because coming up next is D.R. Tucker, and he is the most prolific blogger and aggregator of climate content I've ever seen. He every week just puts out every day, I'd say, at least a dozen stories, video clips and articles, you know, columns all about climate reality and how the media and the political climate is distorting the scientific reality. So he woke up, and he's not going to rest until he convinces his fellow libertarians and conservative Republicans who don't believe. I should certainly qualify, not all of them are disbelievers, but just so happens they tend to fall into those camps. He's just not going to rest till he says, hey, read the science. So we do have advocates out there, and that gives me hope. And
that's
why I like to promote them. And what's going on today certainly gives me hope. And I'll be attending an event in my area tonight. So thank you for organizing all this and for taking time out to speak with Green Front listeners. Yes, we are all believers here, I would imagine. But what I say to my listeners is you need to, each of you, all of us, be ambassadors. You know, don't.
Exactly.
Unlike what happens in Vegas, don't let this stay within you or your home or your office. Spread the word. Raise the volume. Go wide, go fast, go loud, you know, because it is later than we'd like to think.
Grab two skeptical friends and make them watch an hour, or they only even have to watch half an hour.
And by the way, every time I'm on debating with a skeptic or denier, when I ask if they've seen, you know, Al Gore's movie, 10 out of 10 times they say no. They refuse to watch it. And I say, well, how can you be so sure? How can you be so arrogant if you will not spend 91 minutes watching, you know, this film that was very carefully put together? And if you're not willing to do that, I don't know how you can be so certain. Make up your own mind, but watch the movie first, or read a book, or read the IPCC report, you know. But just to put your head in the sand and say it's not happening louder and louder while you don't take the time to, you know, really immerse yourself in the science and the knowledge to educate yourself, I say shame.
Well, there you go.
I say time out. Okay, time's up. Thanks so much, Kevin. I'll let you get back to organizing this exciting event, which is now starting in just about, 6 hours?
6 hours, yeah, oh my God. All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well,
okay,
thank you so very much for your time.
Thank you. Good luck with everything, and we'll be following it closely.
Okay,
that is
bye-bye.
Kevin Curtis. He is a program director with the Climate Reality Project, and it's 24 hours of climate reality getting underway in just a few hours. It is a worldwide event. It is going to be led by Vice President Al Gore, should have been president, of course, and he will be wrapping up this event with his own slideshow out of New York. And those of us who have been using his slides to do presentations for years are thrilled that he'll have an all-new presentation, and that's the good news. The bad news is there's no shortage of new slides and new weather events to include in his riveting show to demonstrate, should anyone really question whether there's a change going on, what is happening. And no, we cannot tie any one event to climate science for sure, but if you look at the patterns and you look at what climate scientists had predicted, this is exactly what climate chaos, the beginning of it anyway, surely looks like. When we come back, we'll be speaking with my friend D.R. Tucker. It's his birthday today, and he's going to spend a few minutes with us talking about his favorite excerpts from this last past week in watching what the media is saying about climate change. You won't want to miss it. Always interesting. Be right back.